morning, everyone. And welcome to our service this morning. Well, I say this morning, but I've got no idea, of course, when you are watching this. I'm pointing at the camera. And of course, you could be watching this on Friday evening. You could be watching this on Tuesday afternoon. So I say good afternoon, but I've got actually no idea when you're going to be watching this. Psalm 133 begins like this. It says, "How good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity." You know that verse? Nod at me. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. And the COVID-19 virus has been teaching us lots of different lessons. I suppose as a church, what it's been teaching us is that our unity does not depend upon us being in the same place at the same time. Are you with me on that one? Our unity does not depend on us having to be together in the same place at the same time. Our unity goes far deeper than that. Even when we had services at 9 o'clock and at 10:45 and at 6:30 and on a Tuesday morning, our unity did not depend upon the fact that we had to get together at the same time. It doesn't. Our unity is actually based upon this: knowing that you are a child of God, knowing that you are loved, and knowing that you display your love for God as you love the people around you. That's the basis for our unity. And again, as Paul says in one of his letters, he says, put on love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. So what is it that binds us together in unity? Whether you're watching this from home, in bed, or at the kitchen table, or whether you're here, what binds us together in unity is God's love for us. So let's worship. Let's worship together, either at home or here. I was going to say, could you wave to everybody? But they can't. You can't see them, and they can't see you either. So. But we're here together in unity. And we're going to have our first hymn this morning. Heather and Lawrence are going to come, and we're only allowed one singing at a time. So one is going to sing, the other, everybody can hum, you can hum along, so the other might support whoever is doing the singing by humming along at the same time. And of course, our organ is going to be playing for us the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Let's worship together. So a time of prayer, a time of quiet reflection. A time to pause and think. In your life today, what gives you most pleasure and delight? What gives you joy and happiness? In the quietness of the morning, just take time to give thanks to God for those people and places, those occasions, those things, those times that give you pleasure and happiness. And in your life today, what gives you sadness and sorrow? What makes you feel ashamed or guilty? Ask for God's healing and forgiveness. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Lord God, today we thank you for the cross. A cross of pain and a place of suffering. And yet a place of healing and a place of forgiveness. Thank you for your love reaching out to each and every one of us today. That love which binds us to you and binds us to one another. As we worship this morning, pour out your Holy Spirit, your Spirit of love and peace and joy, we pray. And so we join together in saying to the Lord's Prayer in whichever version you feel most comfortable. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Over the last few weeks, while we've been in lockdown and we've been streaming our services, we've always had a time where we've been able to get to know people, and Fred has been doing some interviews for us. Well, we've got an interview today, and I'm going to invite Morgan to come and join me at the front. People who are leading service, leading prayers and so on, don't need to have their mask on. So if you want to, you're allowed to.
Very hot. Right? Cheeks.
Need the mic on.
I know, is it on?
Testing, testing.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah? No?
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, good.
Yes.
Okay. Before March, then some of the things that might have been going on here at the church might have been Friday Youth Club, Gareth Sear Tuesday Youth Club. Were you involved in any of that? What were you doing?
Yeah, I was. I was involved in the Friday Night Youth Club. So we'd obviously meet in the hall, and with an average of about 30 or 40 kids coming down every Friday night, and we'd play games,
yep.
And just allow them to have a bit of space to have a bit of fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then across at the bridge on a Saturday, there would have been a cafe on a Saturday afternoon, and there would have been a sanctuary cafe on a Wednesday, and so on. And all of that obviously had to stop. But did that, do you think, mean that we've forgotten all of our youth? What happened after that?
Yeah, I think it was a huge shame. Obviously, everything did have to stop, but I don't feel that we ever forgot our youth. It just meant that we were still thinking of what was best for them, for that generation, as we were for everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And now we've got to August and the summer holidays, and what are we doing now for the youth? What are we trying to do for maybe those that would have been coming on a Friday evening?
So for the past few weeks, myself, Keith and Emily have set up the marquee over there. So if anyone's seen the big white tent in the bridge car park, that's not a COVID testing tent. That is that is our youth centre, our new youth centre. So it's a place where we've opened up so kids can come down on a Tuesday afternoon and a Friday afternoon to hang out, play games, chat, do whatever they like, obviously still maintaining the safe guidelines that are put in place but also giving them that escape if they've been locked in for the last few months with parents or siblings or anything like that. They can come and have that escape with their friends.
And it is safe space, because I've seen all the risk assessments that have had to go along.
Yeah.
I'm waving to Don at this point. So yes, it is a safe place. Are the children young people, are they enjoying it? Is it good?
They are. We started out with kind of five kids first time round, and that unfortunately has gone down to about two or three on average. So currently it's about equal with the amount of helpers and the amount of children. But that's okay. They are enjoying it, and as I said, it's given them a great outlet for them to just come and enjoy themselves.
So if people wanted to support you in this, how could they? What could they be praying about? What could they be doing to support you?
So, yeah, of course, like you said, they could continue just to pray for us, pray that the kids remain safe, but they also have a good time and find the support that they need. I could also say, if you know any children between the ages of 11 and 15 that would like to come down, please let them know. It's great fun, it's a great afternoon, so please spread the word. It's going on until the end of August, so Tuesday afternoons, let them know. And as always, it would be great if the church and PMC's congregation continue to recognise and support how important youth work is, especially in this day and age of bringing the next generation into church to know Jesus and to continue to support them.
Morgan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good to know that... have you lost it now? It's good to know what's happening at the moment as a church and what we're doing in order to reach out and to help our community. So thank you to Morgan, thank you to Keith and to Emily for what they're doing at the moment on a Tuesday and a Friday afternoon. Life isn't always easy, but we've learnt that certainly during COVID-19. But it does mean that it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to fully rely on God. It's an opportunity for us to realise how much we depend upon God and to be drawn closer to him. So a worship song now, Tim is going to come and lead us in the song Oceans. Or you're going to read for us first? Yeah, come and read for us.
There's two short readings from the epistles to share with you. The first is from the letter of James, chapter 1, and the first four verses. It says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, and verses 10 to 14, Paul says this: I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do: forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall I introduce? We are now going to follow along. I'm going to sing. Unfortunately, there were no other musicians around. They scraped the barrel and found me. So, We're going to have listen to a song, but feel free to stand and hum and participate in ways that you're able to as we sing, as I sing the song, Oceans.
Great unknown where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep my faith will stand.
Okay, here's a question for you. I hope you are willing to think a little bit this morning. Why does God allow the coronavirus? Why did God let the COVID-19 virus develop? In this country alone, he could have saved over 40,000 deaths and bereavements and tragedies, and over 300,000 people suffering from the disease. To do that, all he would have had to have done when the virus first mutated in a horseshoe bat somewhere in Southeast Asia, clicked his fingers and made the virus disappear even before anybody had even known of its existence. Before the virus had a chance to infect anyone at all, he could have made it disappear, couldn't he? He can do that. He can do what he wants to do. So why not? Why didn't he just get rid of it right at the very beginning? I think that although we would have much to gain if he had done that, there are also things much that we would have lost. Really? Well, let's stop and think about it. Why does God not stop COVID-19? And actually, that's part of a much, much bigger question. Why does God allow any virus, let alone the COVID-19 virus? Why does he allow the common cold? Why does he allow cancer? Why does he allow any pain and any suffering? Now, if I can answer that question in 10 minutes, I'll have done a good job this morning, won't I? If God wiped out the COVID-19 virus and all disease and all pain and suffering, we would gain, of course we would, but we would lose much as well. The first thing that we would lose would be our freedom. We'd lose our free will. So much pain and suffering in the world is because of human choice. We don't actively choose it. Of course, who would choose to suffer? And yet our decisions have consequences. When the virus was in the so-called wet market in Wuhan, and a butcher there was being less than hygienic in the way that he handled the meat, he had a choice. God could have intervened at that point, but then what would have happened to that butcher's choice? And still today, people have the choice whether to break the quarantine, whether they're going to abide by the safe distancing rules. We have choice. In each of those times, when somebody decides that they won't abide by the rules, God could intervene, but what would happen to that person's free will? Let's extend the analogy. Those who choose to smoke cigarettes, they have choice. I have the choice to eat a diet of only fish and chips, pork scratchings, followed by deep-fried Mars bars. It's a choice that I could take. But I wouldn't be surprised at heart disease and an early death. It's my choice. Could God override that? I suppose he could, but actually I think that he won't. because it would be unloving of God to do that. And God can't be unloving. He gives me freedom. He lets me make my own free will choices. With my own children, when they were younger, I could have decided at an early age to have locked them up in a padded cell, take away any sharp objects from them, that any danger that would come near, I would block it. I wouldn't let them anywhere near. I would put some kind of ventilation unit on the side of the house to stop any viruses coming in. But what kind of a child would I have produced at the age of 18? Maybe I am better to allow them to take the risks, to climb the trees, to jump in the lake. If I want God to take away the virus, then I also want him to take away my free will, my freedom. I'm not sure that I want him to do that. Here's something else I lose. Learning the consequences of my actions. Actions, all decisions, are going to have consequences. So I'm late. I decide, and we've realised that God's not going to override my free will. I'm late. I'm going to drive at 90 miles an hour. I've decided also to have a few beers at lunchtime. And there's a red light ahead of me, but I'm deciding that I'm going to run that red light. What are the consequences of my actions? In a world where I've now removed all pain and suffering, there's no need for me to have any caution or any care. I can do all of those things with impunity, because I know that God will intervene to stop any consequences or any suffering or any pain that my choices have caused. The way I choose to use my body, the way I choose to relate to the people around me, the way in which I choose to abuse or misuse the planet, God takes away all those consequences because there's no pain now and no suffering. Like again with my children, if everything they got into, every time they got into a scrape, every time they got into financial problems, if the bank of mum and dad bailed them out every time, if at the end of the month they come to me and say, we've run out of money, and I say, okay, I'll sort it out for you. Well, maybe the first time. But what happened if they did it the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and it became a habit, and they knew that every time they got into trouble, that God or mum and dad would sort it out for them? There's no consequences to their actions. Maybe the best thing is if we can sit down together and sort out a better course of action. Or perhaps you can imagine a young woman whose greatest sadness or greatest tragedy in life was when she was 7, her daddy failed to buy her a pony for Christmas. Or the most pain that she has ever been in life is when she broke one of her fingernails. And you look at that woman and you think, where's the depth of character? Is she a rounded, mature human being? James says, count it all joy. Really? Count it all joy when various troubles come your way. Why? Because it's going to produce perseverance and maturity of character. So if I get God to take away all pain and all suffering out of this world, what kind of shallow human beings does it produce? There's no growth of character. We don't learn the consequences of our actions. One last thing that we also lose, we would lose the ability and the necessity to care and to show compassion to others. If there's no pain and no sadness and no tears anymore, then there's no opportunity for me to reach out with an arm of love. In that passage from Philippians that Tim read to us, Paul says, this is what I most desire. What's your deepest desire? Paul says, my deepest desire is that I know Christ, to be like him and to share in his sufferings. To have that opportunity to show to other people sacrificial, self-giving love. And in the middle of the COVID-19 epidemic, maybe we remember those who have volunteered, who have taken up the cross, volunteered to go back onto the so-called front line on hospital wards. And on the anniversary of VJ Day, victory in Japan, perhaps we also remember the sacrifice that people made on our behalf. People who showed courage and love and compassion. Once Jesus was brought a man who had been born blind, and people asked the question, well, whose fault? Let's pass the blame here, the blame game. Whose fault is it that this man was born blind? Is it his own fault? That seems hardly fair. He was born that way. Maybe it was his parents, but then that's hard on the man, isn't it? So whose fault? And Jesus, in effect, says, wrong question. Wrong question. It's not about what happened in the past, what went wrong, what caused this. The right question is, what are we going to do about it here and now? What should we do about it? In the face of suffering, which way do we choose? In the face of suffering, do we choose the way of healing, the way of the cross, the way of sacrifice rather than selfishness? Do we choose care and compassion? Do we choose to cry out to God, to lament about the tragedy, to feel, to weep 40,000 deaths, but also choose to pick up our cross, to get involved, to care, to help out in whatever ways that we can? So maybe, why does God allow COVID-19? Maybe it's the wrong question. Maybe the right question is, given that we're in the circumstances that we're in, what will we do about it? And perhaps if God took away all the grot and the grime and the pain and the tears and the suffering and the poverty and the disease and the distress, in the end we'd lose more than we stand to gain. We'd lose the right to choose how we live our lives in freedom. We'd lose the ability to grow in character and to learn the consequences of our actions. And we'd lose the chance to show compassion, to follow Christ in his sacrifice and his sufferings. So God calls you today to make a choice. Given the world that we live in, imperfect and as fallen as it is, a world full of pain and sadness, what will you do in response?
We're going to come to God with our prayers now in a moment, but before we do so, let's be still with our own thoughts as we reflect on what Dave has been sharing with us. And as we sit with our own thoughts, perhaps with our eyes closed now, let's ask ourselves, in all of those words that we've heard, what is it that God is saying to us? What is the thing that God wants us to take away from this place? That may be something to calm our hearts. It may be something to challenge us. And perhaps, just perhaps, as Dave was saying to us, perhaps it's that we choose something to do, to take an action. We take an action not because we've read about it in the newspapers or because we've seen a post on Facebook, but because God speaks to us and calls us to follow and calls us to take up our own cross and calls us to join with him not only in the joy and the laughter but also in the tears and the suffering. We have a God who always wants to show love and mercy and compassion and healing and wholeness and forgiveness. What about us? But let us pray now to this God. This God, as we look around our world and we see so much suffering, so much damage, so much pain, so much need. Let's pray that God will act in this world and that God will call us to act too. There is a response to the prayer as I pray and I say the words, God of love and mercy, would you respond with pour out your love? God of love and mercy, pour out your love. So let us pray. Loving and merciful God, we come before you now to pray for your world, your children, and also for ourselves and our place in that world. We pray for this amazing world that you've made. Lord, in all of the pain and the suffering that we know there is, we know that you are making all things new. And so we thank you for the renewal of creation that is springing up as our human activity is still restricted. Lord, will you help us to value the gifts that you give us? Will you help us to live more gently in your world? God of love and mercy, pour out your love. Lord, we pray for those who live in fear and despair. Especially right now, we think of all of those thousands affected by the tragedy in Beirut. For those who have lost loved ones or livelihoods or homes or a future. We pray too for those refugees fleeing a life without hope. For those who are desperate to cross countries and oceans and seas and will stop at nothing in pursuit of some sort of hope for tomorrow. For all of those who long for a better world, a different world, will you give your protection and safety? Will you give the world a heart of love and compassion that would reach out and offer aid and help? God of love and mercy, pour out your love. And as Dave's been speaking to us, we pray, God, for our world that is still locked in the jaws of coronavirus. For those nations where the epidemic is still on the rise. And for countries like our own who were hopeful of an end but now see these new spikes beginning to appear. We pray for the leaders of nations making impossible decisions on our behalf. And we pray that they will speak and act with integrity and compassion and protect those who are most vulnerable. We pray for so many who are fearful, for those who are still shielding and living in isolation, for those who are lonely, for those who risk losing jobs and livelihoods. Will you uphold them all in your arms of love, sustain and energize them, and keep them safe and well, and help us to do what we can to give safety and well-being. God of love and mercy, pour out your love. Compassionate God, we remember all of those who are sick, those who are dying, those who are grieving. We pray that you will be their comfort and their peace. We pray especially this morning for Maureen Balmer, still in hospital and in much pain. We pray for Pat Johnson and the family of David Johnson who passed away last week. So many that we know that are on our hearts, we lift them before you. And we lift before you the people we still miss, our friends, our families, those we long to see face to face. And God, we pray too for our churches. Some, like this one, are starting to meet again, while others are unable to do so. God, will you give us your protection? Will you help us to be churches that not only meet together for each other, for our own benefit, but so that we might spread your love and your compassion in our communities? God of love and mercy, pour out your love. And then finally, God, we pray for ourselves. Help us to both know your love for ourselves and to reach out with your love to others. May we encounter more and more of you in our lives this day and always. And may people encounter you too through our acts and words. Lord, we offer you all of these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to hear our final hymn, which I'm presuming Heather and Lawrence, I'm looking, yes, again to join us in. The hymn is In Heavenly Love Abiding. Some of the words from the first verse go like this: In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe in such confiding, that means confiding as we do in God's love, then nothing changes here. So the words will come up on the screen. Feel free to stand if you'd like to, hum if you'd like to, as Heather and Lawrence lead us in the hymn. Thank you.
In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe is such confidence.
There used to be a sign in the chapel at the college I was at that said on the door as you walked out, it said, "The service is over, now our service begins," or words to that effect. And that's true, isn't it? Our service here, as we meet, either physically here or whether you're watching on YouTube, is over. But it is only now that our service begins. And so we wish you well. Have a great week. It's been fantastic meeting up with everybody again physically and with all of you watching on YouTube. Do join us again next Sunday at 10:30 when we will be celebrating Holy Communion together as well. But let's finish with a blessing, shall we? Now, as we leave this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And now may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen. Amen.